It's already been mentioned, but I have to say thank you for all the concern and the prayers this past couple weeks. You don't always get the results you want to, or I shouldn't say that. God doesn't always give you the results maybe you think you want or should get, but in this case we did. And because of that concern, that's kind of played into and was one of the reasons I came up with the message I want to talk about today. So thank you. The second piece of that, the reasoning behind what I'm going to talk about today was, believe it or not, Roger, it was a year ago today. I looked back at my notes, which I saved for whatever reason, and I did the Super Bowl message last year. So it's been a year. So time flies. I'd like to think I've gotten a little better since that last Super Bowl, getting up here. And as always, it's like told Denise, sometimes I'll ramble, sometimes I'll stumble, but hopefully at the end of the message, somebody took something home and it was beneficial. I've got a couple mentions of the Super Bowl in already, but, most of you would be surprised if I didn't at least talk a little bit about football today. I'm going to keep it brief, though, because it didn't really tie in with what I wanted to talk about today. But when we get into the message today, I'll throw some sports analogies in there just so you're used to, my way of sharing the message. We're going to talk about church today. That's going to be the main theme, and that you'll see when we get into it how everybody looking out for us and thinking about us this week. We'll look at a lot of scripture that'll mention that as a church body, some of the things we can do as members of the body of Christ. And again, it's not always about, as I defined the title I gave this morning, it's church, not just a pretty building, is what I titled it. So you'll get an idea of what I'm hopefully going to talk about. Before we get into that, though, I was actually thinking about wearing a football jersey today. I thought, well, maybe get some visitors. They walk in the door, they see me standing up here or get up here, and could be a negative. But we talked about, as we were leaving the house this morning, we talked about the judgment-free zone. And so I'm sure I could have got away with it. But, and a lot of you gentlemen that have been married a long time will know what I'm talking about. You know that look when your wife doesn't even have to open her mouth? And you know you just made a mistake or poor judgment? I pictured that look as I was coming down the steps in my football jersey and Denise looking at me with that look and not saying a word, and me turning around and going right back up the stairs and changing into my nice shirt. So, yeah, see, they know what I'm talking about. But no words need spoken. And I feel that way when I'm here a lot of Sundays with you people. No words need to be spoken sometimes. It's a handshake. It's a hug. Nobody needs to say anything sometimes. And I take more away from that gesture than any spoken words. So, there was a saying here real quickly, if I can find the right one. That's not the one. There it is. Church is not an organization you join. It's a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing. Large number of quotes I came across when I was doing my research, whatever you want to call it, and that was one of the ones that stuck with me as I get ready to get into the message today. So if you would bow with me. Father, I ask your blessing upon me for the next 15 or so minutes as I share a message today. I ask you to bless me and allow me to share something that is meaningful and beneficial, that we might all take something home with us this week and spread your word and do your works. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, Andrew, should have a definition for me. Definition of church. I was kind of disappointed when I looked this up. It was pretty bland. A building for public and especially Christian worship. Kind of actually turned me off a little bit. And then it got into number three, kind of caught my eye because some of the scripture I looked up really tied in. A body or organization of religious believers, such as whole body of Christians, and they make no mention of a building in that part of the definition of church. And there were a number of scripture that I looked up and we'll be looking at in a little bit that actually took that same approach. I think I got a couple pictures here for you. So this is my, working it in there. I'm going to come around. This ties in. Trust me. So, the two on the top, Bill. Recognize them? You've been there, haven't you? That's AT&T Stadium. It's where the Dallas Cowboys play. I would think it's safe to say, and I tried, I didn't look at all the stadiums out there. But I know Levi out in, I guess, the San Francisco stadium is pretty high tech now. But I would have to say that's a premier state football stadium. If you're a football fan, I don't know. Fair to say. And then underneath that, and you can probably make out the logo there at the bottom. That's Ralph Wilson Stadium. You know, I looked through a lot of the different stadiums, and that seemed to be one of the most run-of-the-mill. Nothing fancy. Probably getting old. As far as I remember, I mean, I'm a Miami fan, so, you know, always Buffalo Bills coming to play. So I think they've been playing there for quite a while. But the comparison I wanted to make there, when we look at those buildings, when we look at churches, when we look at the mega churches that we have in our society today, the churches where in some cases you may not even be in the same room as the pastor or the person giving the message. You may just be looking at a big screen and listen to a speaker. And then you have churches like ours, not that big, not that fancy, although gotta love the stained glass and traditional windows and all that. I think that's classy. But you could put plain glass in there and it wouldn't change anything. It wouldn't matter. And it doesn't really matter what kind of chairs we have out there or what benches we have out there. You know, like to be comfortable when you're here. Get too comfortable, you might doze off. Which, yeah, we really don't want that to happen. But I think back in the day they used to say that was one of the reasons the pews were designed the way they were, to make sure you didn't get too comfortable and fall asleep. Some of those church pews were pretty rough. But the point being here is the same game is played in both those stadiums. The dimensions are the same for the field. One of those stadiums might have a bunch of stores in it, a bunch of shopping places, a bunch of restaurants, huge screen. But the field's the same. The dimensions are the same. Measurements are all the same. They have to be. The game's played the same way. And in church, whether it's a big mega church or it's this little building, should be using the same playbook. We should be playing by the same rules. Not always the case, though. Sometimes we get lost and we forget, but we do have a book talked about in the past when I've given, you know, the message, where we pretty much are told what we need to do when we are here. It gives us guidance. So there's your comparison as we get into a little bit more discussion about church. Before we talk about some of the scripture, some of the quotes I looked up, and one of the gentlemen that came to mind, and you might want to maybe during the course of the week, he was a little edgy at some points when I read some of the stuff, but he had some really eye-opening quotes, one of which we'll see towards the end of the service. Brennan Manning, I came across him quite a bit. For whatever reason, he kept popping up in my research this week. Not all these quotes are attributed to him, but again, that's a name you might want to do a little looking into. He had a lot of good views. Didn't always agree with, but some of the sayings and some of the stuff that was talked about, church doesn't start until the service is over. Remember that. That's something we're going to get into a little bit more. The church's vitality is not measured by how many people fill the pews, but rather by how much those people are filled with Jesus. Church is not who we are. Church is who we are, not where we go. The church is the great lost and found department. And this one came up a lot. It kept on coming up on the computer as I was doing the research. A little bit humorous, but it makes a strong point. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Good food for thought. I should have said this before I got into the whole church conversation. This is not a reflection on us. This is a reflection on studying Scripture about trying to be better Christians. I think this church, we've been without a pastor for obviously over a year now, or I wouldn't have been up here a year ago. I don't know. Obviously longer than that. But no matter who's up here any given Sunday, I always feel replenished when I leave here. That says a lot about this church. It says a lot about the congregation. And I think we meet a lot of the criteria that Scripture talks about and told us to follow when we come to church, whether it be in a building here, whether it be a pavilion at a park, wherever that may be. There's many references of Scripture that talk about it's not really about what's around us. It's about what we do when we're there. It's about what we do mostly when we leave there and what we take outside of this building. Now, I'm not bringing down the megachurch. I feel a little bit guilty because I do love the fact that this is a smaller congregation. I know most of you. I've known a lot of you for many years. But I feel a little guilty, enjoying that pleasure because, we are supposed to grow our numbers. There's going to be some scripture that's going to talk about that. So I feel a little bad. It's a double-edged sword, but I think about some of these mega churches and you just get lost. And I think, unfortunately, what happens in those cases sometimes, not always, I'm not being judgmental, but I think what happens is sometimes we forget about the reason we go there. And that's really a little bit more than we want to talk about. So let me bring it back in with a little bit of humor when we're talking about churches. Some of the signs I looked up this week, and you've all seen them. You drive by the church, and they got the funny sign out front. And I actually like it, personally. You may not agree with me, but I kind of get it. It gets people's attention, gets them thinking in an unorthodox way. Obviously, text messaging, we need to talk, God. That's very relevant today because everybody's texting everybody. Church shopping, a little bit of a dig there, going out shopping on a Sunday. How about going shopping at church? Church is open on Sundays. Free trip to heaven, details inside. Sign broken, message inside. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. No point. Need a lifeguard? Ours walks on water. I like that one. Some things must be believed to be seen. That one really hit home. It's about belief. You don't see what you need to see all the time, but you have to believe. And I'll make another reference to that a little later as well, the passion. So why do we come to church? What do we get out of it? These are some of the questions I asked myself over the course of this week when I was getting ready to spend some time talking to you today and sharing some thoughts. Why do I attend church? I good or bad, I question a lot of things a lot of times, and I question my faith at times. I question my passion, and I question why I do a lot of things I do. And I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if I'm, missing something sometimes. I'd like to think it's just because I want to improve. I hope that's the case. But some of the questions I ask myself is, what do I get out of this? Why do I come here? When I come here, what do we do with what we take away? And again, no matter who is up here talking for that 15 or so minutes, what is the common denominator, no matter who stands up here? Common denominator, I thought that was a fairly easy one. It's about trying to figure out, you know, what God means in our lives and taking that out and sharing that with other people in our walk throughout the week. That's the simple version. I think I like to keep it simple sometimes, dumb it down so it's useful, so you don't screw it up, so to speak. It's one of my things I say at work, I like to keep it simple. So you know, I dumb it down and just, hey, it's not rocket science. So sometimes it's just about feeling Christ in your heart and going out and telling other people about it. And that's about as simple as it gets. So some of the scripture that I looked at during the course of the week. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Quick takeaway from that is, you know, when you see a visitor walk through that door, are they going to know what we're talking about? Are we going to include them in the conversation? Are they going to understand it? Hopefully they do. They should. We don't want to exclude them because they may be bringing something that they need to bear witness to us about, some sins in their lives and whatnot. We need to be open to that. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Takeaway, you know, we all have something we bring to us, to this church when we come together every Sunday. Talking about, you know, hymn, whether it's singing, whether it's sharing some words, sharing something that happened throughout their week, a hug, a prayer. But we got to be careful that we don't talk over each other and confuse things. And if we're not sure, which sometimes when I get up here, to be honest with you, I struggle with what I'm trying to say, then maybe I just skip over it. And that's why I don't try to get too deep sometimes when I'm up here, because I'm afraid of maybe not sharing it in a proper way or representing it in a proper way. And that's, I think, what that talked about. And this is one that most of us are probably familiar with to some extent. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The reason I included that one as I was talking about church and what a church is and what a church should be and what a church should mean is it kind of put in perspective for me, talking about how strong Christ's love was for the church. And you think about your relationship with your wife and how strong that bond is and should be. And that, you know, Christ gave himself up and what we should do in our relationships with our wives and our spouses and how we need to not think about ourselves so much. And again, I thought that just simplified, you know, the importance of church, that, you know, God gave Christ and he just loved the church that much. He gave himself up. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So my interpretation of the scripture was, so God creates everything. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to give you my son so that he can be in charge of the church. Hope I kind of got that right. That's what I took away from it. Basically God saying that, you know, okay, now I created everything and, you know, you're going to worship me and you know, the boss is my son. You know? Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is a reference a lot of people use in Scripture when they talk about church and getting together and why we get together and why we worship. Very familiar with the Scripture in that context. But the one thing that got caught there that I never really paid a whole lot of attention to was in the beginning, they talk about, if two of you on earth agree about anything and ask for it, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And that really speaks to going back to the whole thing about prayer. When we get together and, you know, when I see those emails, when a church email comes, you know, and I see my phone and somebody's asking for prayers. And I never really paid attention to that part of it, but one of the reasons we get together is so that we can combine our voices when we go to God in prayer. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So we're talking about, A, watching over ourselves, making sure we're doing the right things, and the flock. And the Holy Spirit has put us basically in charge of, when we get together on a Sunday, putting together something that's positive, and hopefully allowing us to take that out. One of the things, quotes I mentioned earlier, that one of the ones I thought was most important, and I think this really talks about, is, you know, church doesn't really start until the service is over. And I think, again, this goes back to that a little bit. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I know Roger would love to, and Dave would love to complete a successful search for a pastor, put that behind them. But the reason I wanted to share the scripture was I think that because of a lot of people that are sitting out there today, this church never missed a beat, in my opinion. No division of the body. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. So even without a regular pastor standing up every Sunday, the same face presenting itself, because of what a lot of people out there did, we never suffered. We had concern for each other. We wanted to make sure that things continued in the proper way, that it was about God, it was about sharing his message, and about giving people a place to come that was going to hopefully give them strength in their daily life. Is that it for scripture? I think that's the last one. Oh, there we go. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And again, that really goes back to the one I just talked about. There's a lot of things that have to happen. Dave, I'm sure Roger appreciated the break this morning. I wasn't always and still not always as comfortable coming up here as I'd like to be. There's so many people that do so many things, and again, sometimes it's just as simple as a hug. So many things that everybody out there brings to the table when they come here on Sundays. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think that one was pretty easy for me, but it was very important. Talks about how important it is that we do get together, that we spend time together, and that we encourage one another, which I think is really one of the reasons I love coming here, because of the encouragement that I get when I come here on Sunday. I've walked through that door some Sunday mornings and just been, what a week. What a week. And give or take an hour and 10 minutes later, man, I'm glad I came. I needed that. And just walked out that door just like, not to sound cliche, but that spring in my step that I didn't have when I walked in. And hopefully it's enough to carry me through the week. And sometimes it's not, and that's where scripture comes in, and hopefully some prayers. And one of the things I learned these past 2 weeks when it comes to prayer, and I talked about this in a message sometime over the past year. I know it was one of my topics. I'm guilty of not praying as much as I need to. And I was reminded of that these past 2 weeks when I was doing some extra praying. So, try to do better. Don't have to have something in your life get your attention, scare you to pray. Remember that. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, God, give me a little extra strength this week. till I see my brothers and sisters again, because I'm having a tough week. Some of the sayings, and this, again, I think this is one place that this church is so vital in my life and so important, and one of the things that we bring to the table. But one of the quotes I read that I think is unfortunate in today in a lot of congregations. The story goes that a public sinner was excommunicated and forbidden entry to the church. He took his woes to God. "They won't let me in, Lord, because I am a sinner." "What are you complaining about?" said God. "They won't let me in either." Kind of hits home. I'm glad that we're not one of those churches. I think that's one of the things that is so blessed about this group of people, that we realize that that's why we're here, that we need to be open to the fact that we're imperfect and we sin and we make mistakes. That Brennan Manning, again, which if you don't want to do a little side research, that was one of the stories or quote that he was, his name was attributed to. I think I got a couple closing quotes. "We are not called to save the world, solve all problems, and help all people. But we each have our own unique call in our families, in our work, in our world. We have to keep asking God to help us see clearly what our call is and to give us the strength to live out that call with trust." That's the hard part sometimes, trusting God to do what he's trying to tell us to do. I know I struggle with that a lot, and I wish I would be a better listener. "Then we will discover that our faithfulness to a small task is the most healing response to the illnesses of our time." "Leadership in the church is not entrusted to successful fundraisers, brilliant biblical scholars, administrative geniuses, or spellbinding preachers, but to those who have been laid waste by consuming passion for Christ, passionate men and women for whom privilege and power are trivial compared to knowing and loving Jesus." And again, Brennan Manning. One of the, don't get scared, anybody, I'm not going to go political on you, but one of the, and I thought it was a very timely reference, it says, "It doesn't matter who the president is, Christ is still king." And I thought that was very timely. I wish I had more passion, but there are a lot of people in this building that have that passion. It's why I come here. It's why I've been coming here all these years. That quote, that whatever you want to refer to it as, that reference, I think is really what church is all about. The one I read earlier about, it's not about how we fill the pews, it's about how we're filled with Jesus when we're sitting in the pew. It's not about all the pomp and circumstance surrounding the building. It's about the passion that we bring with us when we come here on Sundays and the passion we take home when we leave here at the end of the service. And I think we do a great job of that here. And that's why I feel blessed to have come across this church. And I think we all need to remember, we still, no matter, even if we are, as we think sometimes, and I disagree with sometimes, somewhat dysfunctional because we don't have that perfect, you know, thing in place. I think we do. I think we do have in place the important things that we're supposed to. When we refer to God's scripture and when he talks about church, I think we do have in this building what we're supposed to have. So, as always, thank you for your time. I know I feel more blessed this Sunday than I did yesterday because of being here with you. While we stand and sing, if anybody has any concerns they need to bring forward, please do. Behind me is a baptismal. It's always ready if anyone needs to be baptized and receive Christ.